Some youth gender treatments persist despite Trump order, state bans. Gender-related medical interventions for minors are continuing in some American clinics, reports show, even in the face of strong opposition from the Trump administration and bans on the procedures in about half of U.S. states. Some of these treatments are occurring covertly, people on both sides of the controversy suggest. A few clinics, which initially said they would halt procedures, have resumed after outcry from transgender advocates. The changes reflect a rapidly evolving situation amid public debate and court battles over whether puberty-blocking drugs, hormones, and surgery should be allowed for minors in America. Those are among the findings of the Epoch Times, which contacted 30 large and well-known clinics, many of which appear on charts that the American College of Pediatricians released on August 6. Among an estimated 100 major gender clinics for youths, 34 remain open, according to the college. The Florida-based group is among several smaller physicians' organizations that oppose medical and surgical interventions for gender-confused minors. Such dissenting voices are gaining more attention as political winds have shifted and detransitioners have publicly expressed regret over permanently altering their bodies. Gender-altering drugs and surgeries fall under the umbrella of so-called gender-affirming care. While countries around the world are increasingly reversing course and prohibiting these procedures, major medical societies in the United States overwhelmingly support prescribing the treatments for gender dysphoria, a psychiatric condition diagnosed when a patient describes a mismatch between biological sex and self-perceived gender. In early August, leaders of the prominent American Academy of Pediatrics, headquartered in Illinois with 67,000 members nationwide, voted that their top issue was recognizing transgender patients and providing gender-affirming care. Days later, the American College of Pediatricians released data showing that while some clinics remained open, the procedures were being discontinued at an accelerating pace. The tide is turning against these harmful practices, the group commented in a social media post. Since 2021, 35 major clinics have shut down and 28 others have restricted services, according to the Florida group's charts. Many of those changes happened this year, following court decisions, state bans, and executive actions taken by President Donald Trump. In January, the president signed an executive order protecting children from chemical and surgical mutilation, which withdraws federal funding and other support from the procedures. Transgender advocates are fighting back with lawsuits seeking to overturn state laws and Trump's order. At least 17 states face legal challenges, according to KFEF, a nonpartisan research group. KFEF was formerly known as the Kaiser Family Foundation. It was renamed to avoid confusion with Kaiser Permanente, a healthcare company that states on its website it has no connection to KFEF. In a major blow to supporters of medical treatments, the Supreme Court in June upheld Tennessee's law banning medicalized gender procedures for minors. The court's landmark decision, United States versus Scrimeti, bolstered bans in about 24 other U.S. states. Both sides say some treatments are covert. In an ex post on August 6, the American College of Pediatricians said its latest report reveals a major shift in pediatric gender clinics performing sex trait interventions on children with gender dysphoria. The group notes that its list of closed and open clinics is not all-encompassing, adding, "We have no way of knowing if procedures are still happening behind closed doors." Doctors who oppose medical interventions told the Epoch Times why it can be difficult or even impossible to accurately tally the status of clinics. Proponents may obfuscate with vague language and falsify diagnostic or treatment codes. They also can secretly refer patients to privately funded providers, the doctor said. Even advocates of gender-affirming care say treatments are flying under the radar as restrictions tighten. Patients are going into hiding and resorting to underground networks, according to Human Rights Watch, a pro-LGBT group. Young patients and their parents have started to obtain medications from unregulated sources, such as online sellers and other patients who have stockpiled supplies, the group's June report said. In addition, dozens of smaller facilities may continue unfettered if they are not reliant on federal funding that Trump's order is withholding, according to two doctors who spoke to the Epoch Times. Dr. Kurt Maselli, medical director for Do No Harm, said the Trump administration is making a full court press to stop medicalized treatment of minors. Do No Harm is a group of 27,000 physicians whose mission is protecting healthcare from the disastrous consequences of identity politics. Probes are underway at the Justice Department, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Even so, Dr. Ethan Higham predicts it will take years of investigations to yield possible criminal indictments and to reveal what has really been happening behind the scenes. Higham is a Texas general surgeon who exposed alleged illegal gender transition surgeries performed on minors in 2023. Teens aged 13 to 17 make up 18% of the nation's 1.3 million transgender-identifying people, according to the Williams Institute, which researches LGBT-related public policy. Miceli called the affirming mode of treatment dangerous and irreversible. But without a federal ban to stop the procedures altogether, loopholes may remain, allowing the interventions to continue, he said, adding, it is critical that we continue to illuminate these gaps with data wherever possible. Gender treatment data. Miceli's group compiled the Stop the Harm database, which catalogs gender alteration treatments performed on minors through U.S. healthcare facilities. Based on health insurance claims and multiple other sources for the 2019 through 2023 period, Do No Harm found that almost 14,000 minors underwent gender alteration treatments. Of that number, almost 6,000 had gender alteration surgeries, and more than 8,500 received hormones and puberty blockers. Almost 63,000 transgender-related prescriptions were written for minors. Miceli said those numbers shocked some physicians, even though the database's figures are admittedly an undercount. Some data, including that from a large nonprofit healthcare company, Kaiser Permanente, was inaccessible. In addition, if procedures were done under different codes, like endocrine disorder, not otherwise specified, we wouldn't have picked that up in our database, Miceli said. Thus, available information provides only a partial picture of what is happening across the nation, home to an estimated 300 smaller medical offices that have provided medicalized gender treatments to youths. The shifting political and legal landscape carries far-reaching implications. What clinics say and don't say. Using the Stop the Harm National Database, the Epic Times found 27 gender clinics with more than 100 young patients apiece. Of those clinics, three were closed or had moved to mental health services only. Two more were likely closed, but online information was unclear. Those clinics did not respond to requests for clarification. The remaining 22 clinics appeared to be still offering medication-based services and/or surgeries on minors, based on information from their websites and other reports. In all, the Epic Times contacted 30 clinics. One of the two hospitals that replied to the Epic Times, Yale New Haven Health in Connecticut, had four documented patients listed on the Stop the Harm database. Yale New Haven Health said it was eliminating the medication treatment component of the gender-affirming program for patients under age 19. The hospital said it would continue to offer mental health counseling as the medication treatment component of its program winds down. The other hospital that responded, Children's Hospital Los Angeles, shuttered its Center for Trans Youth Health and Development on July 22nd. That clinic had at least 265 young patients, according to Stop the Harm. The hospital initially paused services after Trump's executive order, but reinstated them under pressure from advocates, followed by permanent closure months later. In its response to the Epic Times, the Los Angeles hospital said operational, legal, and financial risks tied to the shifting policy landscape at both the state and federal levels led to its closure decision. The hospital said care teams would help patients identify potential alternative providers. Other clinics also appear to have reversed course, based on some media reports, but the Epic Times was unable to independently verify those reports. Higham, the Texas whistleblower, told the Epic Times some children's hospitals may be looking for less obvious ways to connect youths with medicalized gender treatments. They are providing a message externally that's meant to assuage the Trump administration in order to get the regulatory authorities off of their back, he said, but it is my suspicion that they're doing the exact opposite behind closed doors. Private clinics affiliated with hospitals can be enlisted to provide the services, funded by big donors, whose contributions are hard to track, Haim said. In addition, the surgeon said he has been in contact with gender doctors who admitted using false diagnosis codes to fit conditions for which insurance companies or federal programs would pay. The nation's busiest youth gender clinics are tied to hospitals that get about half of their funding from Medicaid, Haim said. Losing those funds would drive the hospitals out of business. When announcing changes, gender clinics have tended to use the word pause, he noted. That's very equivocal language. It's language that gives them a huge amount of wiggle room, Haim told the Epoch Times. So they take down their websites. They give this statement publicly, and they continue on with what they were doing, just behind closed doors. Looking ahead, Haim has become known nationally for his outspokenness on this topic and has testified before Congress. He said his ethical obligation to report harm to patients compelled him to speak out. Earlier this year, Haim told Epoch TV that he faced false federal accusations over his disclosures. He alleged that Texas Children's Hospital resumed transgender procedures on minors 3 days after discontinuing them. The hospital denied the allegations. Haim was then prosecuted for alleged violations of privacy rules, but federal authorities dropped the charges after Trump took office this year. Haim said he learned through his wife's former job investigating false medical claims for the Justice Department that those cases usually take a long time to investigate. I think it's going to be a slow roll of whistleblowers and undercover reporters who reveal these schemes, he said, predicting that the really major offenders will be indicted in 2027 or 2028. In the meantime, disputes over public policy and perceptions continue. Human Rights Watch alleges in a June brief that anti-trans hysteria is fueling restrictions that are leading to the clinic closures. The group also argues that politicians have no business meddling in youth's healthcare, especially because the nation's largest medical organizations all support access to evidence-based, developmentally appropriate gender-affirming care. But the Department of Health and Human Services and an array of other agencies, including some in Europe, have found some evidence that gender-affirming care can be effective. The American College of Pediatricians said its 2024 review of 60 studies revealed social transition, puberty blockers, and cross-sex hormones have no demonstrable long-term benefit on psychosocial well-being of adolescents with gender dysphoria. Calls for action. Miceli, the Do No Harm spokesman, called upon the medical community to give a fair hearing to dissenting voices. Only recently have major American medical societies begun considering opposition to the gender-affirming approach, he said. Miceli said he was pleased to see the American Psychiatric Association air alternative views at its annual meeting in Los Angeles in May, possibly a first, he said. Professional medical associations must seriously examine the evidence, recognize that it does not support these interventions in minors, and take decisive steps to protect children from these dangerous and irreversible procedures, he told the Epoch Times. The medical establishment must make it unequivocally clear that chemical and surgical sex changes for minors do not constitute the standard of care, Miceli said. Such a stance would exert significant pressure on practitioners to honor their ethical and legal obligation to do no harm. In a position statement, the American Psychiatric Association criticized a May report from Health and Human Services titled Review of Medical Interventions for Children and Adolescents with Gender Dysphoria as lacking rigor, but emphasized, there is a strong need for continued research to ensure full access to competent and reliable healthcare for gender dysphoric patients.